book festival several months ago. Well, Nisreen El Amin, assistant professor at the Department of Anthropology in the African Studies Program of the University of Toronto, thank you so very much for this hour. I learned very much. Really appreciate you joining us. Thank you. Bye-bye. And thanks to Jade and Summer and Lainey. I'm Esti Dinor. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
Don't take no prisoners if you can't afford it.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got a year. Wow. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment. But with us, as always, the man who's ready to bust a move, Mr. Smarty Pants, or right. Bust a hip.
I'm ready to bust something.
How are you doing?
I'm actually okay. I'm okay.
Good. Did you like the snow?
I did. Yeah. It was quite fun.
Yeah. Did you go frolic in it? Did you make snow angels?
I did not. No. I did not make snow angels. I don't believe in those.
Snow demons?
Yeah. That's readily apparent. No, it's fun. We so companion and I live in a second floor apartment in an old building, and
so you can like pour the boiling oil on the carolers.
No.
In the Addams Family cartoon.
We rarely do that. But what it does give you is a wonderful vantage point from to look out from. We feel like we live in a treehouse, and when it's like snowy like that and everything, it's just really, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. So well, you've got the lake over there and the park
right by the lake. Yeah, it's a very nice area. But yeah, it's
are there still ducks there?
There are still ducks.
Yeah, I didn't know if they stuck around or not.
You know what's really shocking? So we live in this place, and it's great. We love it, but we don't love it that much. I mean, we got our property tax bill, and it is absolutely outrageous. We were comparing our property tax bill because we live on the Isthmus. We were comparing our property tax bill to some friends of ours who live in some of this conurbation that's grown around the city in the last few years, and they have a huge house, and we have like a floor basically, and our property value was like our place was evaluated at a very similar price.
Really?
And it was like, I guess it's all about location. I mean, it's not an undesirable area to be.
That's what they say.
But it just shows you how crooked and weird it all is. You're talking about the Addams Family. This is not like the Addams Family from the TV show, the Bohemian Decadence. This is like Addams Family from the movie, like those our pet spiders are over there, and still we're like, really? We could sell this for that amount of money? You must be kidding.
Well, that's different.
We've done nothing to increase the value of that place except sit there. I just really don't like that. It makes me feel like I'm party to a system that I really, really don't like. Speaking of which,
yes,
it's Floyd.
Floyd is here.
It's time to party with the system.
I made you some cookies.
You made cookies?
Yeah, they're ginger snaps.
Oh.
These won't do anything to you, will they?
No, they're
just
cookies.
Just the cookies.
How you doing, bud?
Doing great, and you?
I'm good.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Yeah.
Getting ready for the Yule time experience.
Uh-huh. And what do you have on plan?
planned for your Yule time experience.
For the Yule log.
Well, the usual human sacrifice. No, right. I mean, we're druids in our house. Yes, so, right. You know? Well, yeah. I mean, everybody has their own religion. But
you have to do that, or the days are just going to get darker.
I know. Shorter. I try explaining this to people. They just don't
nobody
get it.
Gets it. Well, you never get any credit.
We do it every year, and the days get longer. Yeah. It's just so science. It's science. Yeah. You're married to an astrologer.
That's right. Yes. The new MAGA NASA coming up. Top astrologers.
Well, we're going to launch a probe to Scorpio.
We're going to land on the sun. Well, I'm going to try.
You're crazy. You'll fall across. You'll fall over the edge of the earth.
That's right. Careful.
I'm going to try one of these cookies to see. If I survive, you'll
know. You love to eat on the air.
That's one of his favorite things.
And that's the listeners love it, too. Yeah.
That's why they tune
crunch,
in.
Crunch.
Like I said, there's snaps.
Clopsy.
I just made them this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty good.
Got up this morning and made some ginger snaps.
You'd make someone a great husband.
I would. Yeah. you'll have to ask. I'm not sure how I'm doing.
So you had your performance review recently?
Yeah, no, that's next week.
The jury's still out on that. End of the fiscal year.
Right. So, yeah, we're heading up to Green Bay this weekend to see the my grandniece and nephew.
Okay.
And my little niece, it's on Trixie's side. She's 4, and every time I see her, she gives me the side eye and avoids me.
Really?
Yeah, which is really weird because I'm not used to having that.
Kids love you,
with
though.
Young, yeah, with kids. I mean, with grown-ups, I can understand.
Yeah,
Most grown-ups do avoid me. They cross the street.
They often have discriminating taste.
That's right.
But children don't know better.
I know.
And he's got that van with all the candy.
I know, and the puppies. I'm really surprised.
Well, you lose the puppies a lot of times.
Right,
though.
Yeah.
Like you have to go look for them.
Oh, we got to find the puppies. Yeah. Anyway, no, yeah. But it's so I'm interested to see if...
Has she always done this?
Yes, ever since she was teeny tiny.
Yeah. Well, you're a pretty large human.
I'm a large human, although I'm shrinking.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's deflation.
2.5 inches. Actually.
Really?
Yes.
It's the cold weather.
Did you lop off your forehead or
it's
something?
It's my knees and my back, according to the doctor guy.
You're the same height. You're just like in a different configuration.
No, I'm just crumpling. I'm
settling
down.
You are really settling. Cartilage.
That's the word. Is all gone from my knees. It's just completely gone. There's nothing there.
Yeah, where'd it go?
No idea.
Immigrants.
Yeah, I think they stole it. That's what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Get their own damn cartilage. Yeah.
That's why they come here. They don't have any cartilage.
precious cartilage.
So I'm getting new knees next year.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about.
Good. I was talking titanium ones. Or?
Yeah, titanium. I think those are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping for platinum, but that's a little pricey, and the insurance won't cover. So my buddy Lincoln in Maine, I was telling him that I was going to go.
Buddy's from Illinois.
Yeah, that's the other Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
I told him that I was going in to get my knees fixed, and he said, "Oh, well, you should have them make you shorter. That'd solve all your problems. You could drive a Miata."
You really should start going around on all fours. I think that's the.
Oh, believe me, there have been times.
We're back to your performance review. Yeah.
Rough. Putting on the dog.
I think it's that bipedalism is kind of, you know, it really, after a certain
it's overrated.
Point.
It's
it is. It really
overrated.
Is.
Yeah. It's an experiment that's run its course.
Centaurs. So. I think that's the way to say it. You got their four
human
legs
animal hybrids.
Four legs for stability and the hands for everything else.
Yeah.
W. Bush warned us about the human animal hybrid.
Yep, that's right.
So, just in case I forget to mention this, I have all kinds of knee surgery accoutrements for you if you want them.
Oh, do you? So, excellent. So, okay, gold plated or
no?
They're just regular ones.
They're like aluminum and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I won't bore the listeners with the a lot of stuff.
Oh,
that,
excellent.
That
good.
You won't
okay,
have to buy.
I probably need it.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
I will definitely need it because they're telling me just. You should not be walking.
My doctor says I shouldn't be alive. What the hell? You're still here. Yeah.
Trixie was there at that when you're looking at the X-rays, and she said, "Well, you hardly complain." I said, well, you know, I overheard your complaints. That cannot be heard.
That went over well.
Yeah, she took notes.
That will definitely affect the performance review. Yeah, so. I have a feeling.
But if we average it out between the two of us, one of us is complaining all the time. 50% of the time. Yeah, man, right.
Well, there's quality and there's quantity.
That's there is, and my complaints are quality.
Yeah, yep. It's Festivus year round.
Yes, biweekly.
So you came in. The kids are all like, "We should promo this a little bit."
Yeah, let the kids know that I'm going to be doing Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, Floyd comes in every year, pretty much every year.
Pretty much every almost years.
Does a recitation of Frosty the Snowman, and the kids love it. They're always
especially your grandniece.
Yes, my grandniece. Oh wait,
maybe she's onto something.
Maybe she listened. Maybe she heard me last year.
So it's our little festive show here.
A little nod to the season.
Yeah.
A little tip of the hat.
Yes. Hello, season. So, do you want to do it now? Or?
Sure, yeah, because I got to go up to Green Bay, so I can only stop in for a minute.
Oh, okay.
So,
Well, thanks to Mindless Minion DQ, he sent me this last year after you did Frosty. He does a brass band. I don't know if I have the term right, but they did a version of Frosty that I think that he thought, and I agree, would be perfect for this. So I'll give you a little music bed, and then
I gotta get some headphones so I can.
Okay,
hear the music
get
bed.
Some headphones.
Oh, I can over here. Let me
fully participate.
We'll do that and do our on-air production here of Frosty the Snowman. So. Is he related to Smokey the Bear? Megan the Stallion? The whole the family.
Yeah.
The Rock, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm going to scoot over next to you.
Okay. Scoot over there. Are you
Lucky
ready?
Me.
Are you ready? All right. I'm going to shut off my mic and pants.
Okay. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they put it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was as alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump. Look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow. Oh, Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day. So he said, let's run and we'll have some fun before I melt away. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop. And he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop! Oh, Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry. I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump. Look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump. Over the hills of snow.
not a dry seat in the house.
No. I love how the thumpities always get pants.
I just, the line, he came to life one day. I'm just like, it's a horrible image in my mind.
Oh my God.
It's alive. It's alive.
How did he run?
That's the question. Yeah. I have just had a ball on his bottom.
Kind of like one of the Star Wars robots.
Right.
Yeah. Rolling along.
Yeah. That, there's a new movie out that you might want to catch. It's called Hot Frosty.
And it seems like an oxymoron.
I might have seen that. Yeah. But, maybe it was a different
what's
one.
What's it about? Documentary.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's about this snowman that comes to life one day in a village where a woman had to go back because her mom was ill and she was single and taking
care of
her.
Wait, is this one of those Hallmark movies?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God.
Only the snowman comes to life.
And he's the romantic lead.
He's the romantic lead.
Oh my God.
My, that's very cold.
Why does he always leave his hat on?
It's funny how they had to dance around all that, but it was
what are you doing with that carrot? Yeah.
Keep your carrot away from me. Oh dear Lord.
Okay. Well, that's all I've got for
you.
Well, all right. Well, go terrorize children somewhere else.
Happy season, Floyd. It was great to see you.
Same to you guys. And, and we should try to get together maybe next week if you're around in town.
Oh, I'll be around. Yeah.
All right. Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I live on the lane of inflatable Santas, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, what is with that?
So
it was terrifying last year, but this year it's like overwhelming.
I know, and they are just metastasizing.
They bred over the, the seasoning.
We like to see the drunk Santas.
Yeah,
like the ones that are the one we saw one. We've seen several on their back, but we saw one today. Its face was plastered on the lawn. Yes. Now that is a drunk Santa.
We do that too.
The face plant always gives it away.
We call out the drunk Santas, and then the dead Santas who are all deflated.
At Halloween, I saw a witch that was deflated, and she was laying on her back, and her legs were up in the air.
Yikes.
Oh boy.
She's a really wicked witch. Yeah.
She's a shady lady.
I don't play ball, Scarecrow.
Here's a broomstick.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming in and
thanks for having me.
Right down in the gutter.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks. Get out of here.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, bud. You know, anything sounds bad if you say it in a certain tone of voice.
Right.
That's true. Yeah,
especially that tone of voice. Oh, man. Hey, there was some jubilation here in Madison, Wisconsin this week.
Yes.
Did you hear that 10 Republican electors got together on Tuesday to vote for President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance?
No.
And Governor Tommy Thompson was there, former governor. And I just want you to know that these are code words now that are coming up. And those of us who know and love Tommy know exactly what he's talking about. He said, "This is a celebration. Let's have some excitement, for God's sake."
Oh, I need another old-fashioned.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, when Tommy says excitement, usually involves brandy.
Equals brandy, yeah.
So they actually legitimately, Republican electors legitimately got together.
I think just for laughs, Kamala Harris should block the certification this
that
year.
That would be a riot.
So,
that would be a riot. Anyway, never mind.
No one would
It could
riot,
be a riot, so. Yeah.
So, well, here's a little tidbit about the season. This is my only holiday-related story.
All right.
But tinsel. Do you ever use tinsel? Do you ever drink your
Many years ago, my parents loved it. I don't use. I do not partake.
Yeah. Tinsel used to contain lead.
Well, that explains my one sister.
Lead tinsel was a popular choice for Christmas decorations in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
It was considered safer than the other options because it didn't tarnish and hung straight down.
Yeah.
Of course, lead is poisonous. In 1971, the FDA concluded that lead tinsel was a risk to children and other humans. and convinced manufacturers to stop producing it after January 1st, 1972. Mm. The FDA did not ban the product, but it did prevent the importation of lead tinsel.
Oh.
So let's make America great again and bring put lead back in our tinsel.
Well, the thing was, there were the alternative tinsel, of course, exploded as well. So,
burst into flame.
Those are the choices you had back then. You can have the slow brain rot, or you can have the exploding Christmas tree. You know, it's funny. My mother-in-law to this day is still like terrified of leaving the house with the Christmas tree lights
oh,
on.
Oh, sure.
Because back in the old days, kids. Mm-hmm. These lights would generate so much heat, and the trees, of course, get dried out relatively quickly that you could actually have some combustion going
sure.
on there. Today, of course, they're all LEDs, and they generate very little heat. But you know, you get trained when you're a kid, like my mother-in-law, to worry, you know, that the tree's going to go up in flames any second. It's
well,
funny
sure.
how that sticks with you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That was a Christmas tradition, all the news stories about the...
Somebody's tree going up in flames.
Burning up
yeah,
and
yeah.
burning the house down. So.
Right.
So there's a lot of craziness going on in Washington. It's a month before the diaper king gets
you won't be able to say that in a month.
Yeah, let's get them all out for
let's
the next
right
4 weeks.
Now.
Here,
yeah, exactly.
We'll have the coronation in a month.
Yeah.
But it's chaos already. It's total
yeah.
chaos. And I was thinking about this, and it's got to be intentional. I mean, there's different factions and different people
sure.
doing things for different
yeah.
different reasons. But I think if you trace it back to like the billionaires,
yeah.
that the chaos is intentional. I mean, there's some of the stuff.
They're disruptors.
They're disruptors, and
yeah.
it's fun. They
yeah.
they get
yeah.
sexually excited when they disrupt something. Apparently,
well, I know that Elon gets springy. We've seen that.
He's either springy or he's doing like the evil supervillain. And glare. I love the glare. He's got this,
oh, yeah,
this
does he?
Glare.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, they're looking at things like the FDIC insurance.
Yeah,
I mean,
I saw that.
It's like, why? That's a
yeah.
that's a very successful program. It's
yeah.
you know, has been very successful at keeping, you know, banks in business since the Depression. It probably doesn't cost very much. I can't imagine.
But it's not what they would have done in 1885. So we really have to figure out what the time frame is. Here.
So, but I mean, you know, and then of course everything else they're you know trying to get. They want to privatize the post office. They floated
yeah.
that this week.
Yeah.
And I predicted this right at the beginning. Bannon was talking about a third term for Trump
yeah.
the other day. And he was saying, well, you know, you've got that constitutional amendment, but it doesn't say it's really only for consecutive terms.
Mm.
And I said they were going to hang their hat on that.
Yeah.
But the idea it's the shock doctrine, I think. I think if you throwing tariffs on things and
yeah.
you know deporting 10 million people who are most likely working
yeah.
and contributing to the economy. I mean, they want to crash it, and then it's an emergency.
But the Republican Party has been doing this since Reagan.
Yeah,
they make everything worse,
yeah.
and then they claim they're the solution to
yeah.
the problem they themselves made. So, I mean, I think this will be a justification for whatever executive overreach.
And that's what I mean.
Because everything's a mess,
yeah.
and you need the strong man to take.
Yeah.
You know, it's like American carnage. It's not. We're not having carnage. We're having a lot of things that are problematic, but it's not carnage. But let's make it carnage,
yeah.
and then I'll have my justification.
Right. I mean, if you take a step back, I mean, you know, you and I agree that the economy could be structured differently,
oh,
or the
course.
Government could have a bigger role or different role. But if you take a step back and just kind of, you know, look through the right kind of glasses, the economy is doing okay. I mean, it's inflation is low. There's low unemployment. People, you know, when people complain about stuff, which I understand, they complain about things that are all based on the capitalist system. And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's like, I work three jobs and I can't afford my rent. Well,
right.
that's not because, you know, we have, you know, people getting food stamps.
No, it's not because the liberal Democrats are giving money away. I mean, the economy grew by 3% in the third quarter of this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that an advanced industrial economy today grows by that much. That's the kind of like level of growth that you would see in a developing nation.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow, that's not considered good enough. And again, there are injustices and inequities in the system that need to be taken care of. But somebody like Trump's not going to do that.
No, and
Elon Musk is not going to do
right.
that.
Right. I mean,
Bezos is not going to.
They
do
take
that.
The richest person who's probably ever existed in history, and ask him what we should do about Medicare, Medicaid.
Scrooge McDuck calls him sir.
and Social Security. It's yeah, like, yeah. And he's a guy, and he said, you know, offhand before the election, he could see $2 trillion in cuts, which, you know, yeah, where is that going to come? But the point is they crash stuff, yeah, and then it's like, oh my God, we got this emergency. The house is on fire. You got to trust us here. We got to really yeah, do this. And then they do all kinds of executive orders and yeah, even getting to the point, and this has been a wet dream a long time for some of these people is to have a constitutional convention.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and it could end up in that even at yeah, that point because you know it's an emergency. I mean it's like what you know happened in with Pinochet.
Yeah,
you know it's like yeah, oh we need to take care of this because everything is falling apart.
Right.
But, you know, well, you're the ones who lit the house on fire.
I mean, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
I'm going to call the fire department, not you.
Well, that's a trick that authoritarian parties have been using for over 100 years.
And yeah,
you basically show up, you hold up all legislative business, you make sure that nothing ever gets done. And they say, look, nothing ever gets done. And then that, of course, justifies emergency rule.
Yeah. I mean, we saw when Scott Walker was elected. Wisconsin was kind of like a little petri dish to test some of these things because when he got elected, hang on a second. When he got elected, he talked so much about this as an emergency. We got to do this. Right. You know, we got to have Act 10 because and it wasn't an emergency. It was like, you know, the budget, you know, the surplus grows and shrinks and fluctuates and you know, it's just, you just need to ride it out. It's kind of like Social Security. Yeah. I mean, the boomers are going to die off. Yeah. I mean, they're starting to die off already.
Yeah.
And that's why Social Security is you know, kind of stressed right now. But,
I think the difference between what happened with Scott Walker and what's happening now, and this is the thing that's so demoralizing, I think, for many people, is Scott Walker never said boo about what he was going to do. I mean, he got into office and it just, look at all this crap we've been planning that we didn't even mention during the campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, they effectively lied about everything by omission. Trump says exactly what he's going to do, and half the people that vote for him say, oh, he's never really going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he does that thing,
yeah,
you know. And they're all like super surprised.
That's right,
just the thing that just drives me insane.
Yeah, and I mean, and we heard the term sane washing so much, yeah, and it really was true. It's like, yeah, I mean, Trump would get up there and ramble about you know sharks and windmills and batteries, yeah, and then the you know the New York Times would say Trump outlines economic plan.
Yeah, I know. By the way, here in Wisconsin, Robin Voss said their number one priority for the biennial budget is going to be a property tax, or pardon me, just a tax cut. The lawmakers said that they're getting a 2-year spending plan, and that's a tax cut of $4 billion or something like that. You want to use the projected surplus as a tax cut. So basically, what they're saying is, you know, I mean, just read it that way. Robin Voss says our priority is the rich.
Yeah.
Just lay it out there.
They're also going to have a Wisconsin version of the Department of Government Efficiency, the Elon Musk, you know, ceremonial thing.
Yeah.
Voss wants to have something at the state level to take a hard look at all the Wisconsin programs.
Yeah, I think they should get two foreigners who are obviously don't care about our nation, who are rich, to be in charge of that. I like the fact they have to have two of them. Now there's efficient management.
I also like that Musk is the CEO of about, what, 4 or 5 companies. It's like, well, what is that, a part-time job?
Oh, I guess he's just hyperactive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Well, was
I mean, he's this Lex Luthor. I mean, what is this?
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Hey, this is a great example. All the pigs are coming to the trough, right? So right now, one of the groups that's really pressing on the incoming administration is the nursing home industry. They said there's been too much regulation of them because, you know, those nursing homes.
Those old people are just living in luxury there. Oh, lucky over there doesn't have to breathe.
Yeah. We've got the American Healthcare Association and Leading Age,
and they have
both sued to overturn regulation. Well, that suit's not going to go anywhere because they don't even have to worry about it, right? I mean, once the Trumpies get in there. So here's, again, the thing. It's like, if you're an old person right now, you got a target on your back. And you look at the voting patterns of people and you're like, did you not listen to what these people have been saying since Ronald Reagan? You know, Ronald Reagan, Social Security is, you know, communism or whatever. I mean,
Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, they've been saying this ever since this thing got into place.
And now that they've got the opportunity and the will and the sheer desire for sadism, you know, which apparently motivates a lot of the real upper level in that movement, you think they're not going to do something like this? You bet they are.
Louisiana prohibits vaccination information from public health workers from promoting COVID, flu, and Mpox vaccinations.
Oh, goody.
So you aren't even allowed to talk about vaccinations in Louisiana.
We were there last year. I think that's probably going to be it. I have beautiful memories of being there. But they just had a new governor that got elected. That was... came into office in 2024,
uh-huh.
And he was like some right-wing crazy.
Yeah,
so
I saw
it. Off
we
go.
You see these all the time, but I saw a map of the happiness, of what states were happiest. Yeah. And, of course, that stinking Minnesota was number one by a mile.
The same map, I don't know if you saw this last week, there was a map that showed the areas where people's insurance, where people were being denied insurance for various things, especially like disaster emergency insurance. And Minnesota was like, had almost no denials.
Right, I mean,
they were just like, you know, there's
they're
nice, pleasant insurance companies.
Those things are always like goofus and gallant. You know? But my point was Louisiana was the most unhappy state.
Now let's make it a little bit more unhappy.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to take a brief break, play some announcements, and then come back with, you got anything good?
Nah, I got some negative things. I got Amazon quotas and injuries are linked. I know you'll be shocked by that.
I have a funeral home that's going to get a liquor license.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
Hey there, Madison. This is DJ Slimzy, and I'll be hosting another episode of my show, Sonic Signatures, for the Access Hour on Monday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. For this show, I'll be bringing you music to mark the winter solstice, that darkest night of the year that often prompts reflection and contemplation. To match this mood, my set will include selections of ambient, drone, down-tempo, and contemporary classical music. Ethereal tones will blend with the surreal, the groove-driven with the melodically modest and tempered. Support your local DJ by tuning into Sonic Signatures with me, DJ Slimzy, on Monday, December 23rd, from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Access Hour, only on WORT 89.9 FM Madison, listener-sponsored community radio. Enjoy the music.
And we're back. Alert listener Bill sent us an article about the latest trend on TikTok.
Okay.
These are always funny. People are putting beef on their faces. What could go wrong? Natural tallow-based cosmetics can be made at home or bought from artisans. Doctors are not thrilled, but these are all the rage now on TikTok. So put some beef tallow on your face.
All right.
It'll make your skin look better.
I don't know. Okay. Give you a glossy coat.
Your dog will love it.
Yeah. Become very popular with your pets. But if you have a cat, don't lay on the floor too long because mice start eating your face.
Bill notes that poison ivy is natural too.
Yeah, so. I know. Deadly nightshade. Rattlesnakes. I saw a woman once on TV talking about global warming, and it was one of these person on the street interviews, and she's like, well, I'm a believer in Jesus, and the good Lord would never let anything bad happen to us. And it's like, have you heard of a tsunami? You know, like,
Noah's Ark? Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a believer, Noah's
like,
Ark.
What are you... What in the world are you talking
about?
It's
always the greatest biblical story. First of all, it's turned into like a little kid's story.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it's a horrible story. It's about about mass murder. And this guy just says, it shows he's not infallible. I mean, this is pretty early after Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And he looks at it and goes, oh, I got to hit Control-Alt-Delete on this thing. Yeah.
He was so in your face. God was so in your face in the early part of the Bible. He's just like,
I like that. That's more like you say, like a comic book.
Yeah,
you know? It's like the Galactus or something.
Yeah, where's your brother?
I don't know.
Hey, most people think that their healthcare plans are good, according to a poll. This is that woman in Iowa that does polls.
She's in trouble now.
Yeah, I know she is. No, this was actually from a polling group called the KFF. It's a nonprofit health policy research group. 6 in 10 insured Americans say they had encountered at least one problem using their coverage, but they also said that they thought their health insurance was excellent or good. I don't know. As I said, I'm not sure. Not sure about these polls. Suddenly we're believing these polls. I don't know.
That might be the one I mentioned a week or so ago where the people who were healthy thought their insurance was good.
And most people are healthy.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of having a pool.
Yeah.
And but the people who were sick said their insurance was terrible.
Yeah, because they actually had to use it.
Yeah.
Again, I mentioned this last week. I'm kind of in that category.
That car I got in my garage, it runs great.
Yeah. My 1928 Porter, yeah.
Wasn't that my mother, the car?
That's my mother, dear. Very good. All right. You know your crappy sitcoms.
Here's a story out of Columbus, Ohio. You ever been there?
I was born there.
Yes, I know. So a funeral home in Columbus wants to serve mourners in a new way by providing alcohol.
Oh, I know that place.
Instead of them bringing their
own. That's where I took my mom.
Bringing their own. Yeah, right. Leave your flasks at the door, mourners. Right. But I love the name of this place. Evergreen Funeral Cremation and Reception.
Reception?
Evergreen.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice.
Recently applied for a liquor license, which would make it the first of its kind in the state. The funeral home owner said he wants to be able to provide guests with a livelier vibe if that's that's the way they want to celebrate their loved ones.
We call those wakes.
I'm Irish. So
yeah,
I know all about that. Yeah. But the only restriction is you will not be able to ask the bartender to make you a zombie.
Nice one. That's right. Got to pay extra for that. So I just want to do this quick study. It was a study that was released by a committee. And by the way, this is something we're not going to be seeing much of the next at least two years, maybe longer. This is the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. That's a lot of stuff in one committee.
Let's get rid of all those.
That sounds like
waste.
Well, not surprisingly, the chair of said committee is Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. And they did a study. Investigators showed pretty much conclusively that Amazon's health and safety personnel themselves had recommended relaxing enforcement of production quotas to lower injury rates. So they had done a study themselves internally that determined that their production quotas were actually leading to people being injured. This went up the ladder, apparently, in Amazon to a senior executive who rejected the recommendations because they were worried about the effect on the company's performance. And, of course, that's what we're mostly concerned about.
This report from Senator Sanders' committee also affirmed the findings of investigations undertaken by another group. This was a union-backed group that showed that injury rates at Amazon were twice the average for the rest of the industry.
Wow.
Senator Sanders said, "The shockingly dangerous working conditions at Amazon's warehouses revealed in this 160-page report are beyond acceptable. Amazon's executives repeatedly chose to put profits ahead of the health and safety of its workers." And that's the least surprising story we've heard all week. I see those little trucks just flying around my neighborhood. And I hate to be that guy, but I'm just kind of like, you know, go out to a business somewhere and, you know, darken someone's doorstep here in town. You know, go to a local shop or your local whatever outlet or something. I mean, just so that we can keep some of this commerce here in good old Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not. Yeah. Not in my neighborhood, anyway.
Socialist.
Yeah, really.
That's socialism.
Yeah, that must be what it is. That's right.
I don't like it, so that's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of a dense commercial, ecology in your city, not everybody getting things from a warehouse in Florence, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I just, I'm funny that way. I don't know. I don't know what to call it, but.
Here's some happy news.
All right.
And it's Ohio again.
Oh, wow. That is unusual.
It involves Ohio lawmakers. Ohio lawmakers on Wednesday voted to give Dolly Parton her own license plate. Not her specifically, but yeah. You can get like a Dolly Parton license plate. Ohio House and Senate put an amendment in a bill that would create the Dolly Parton Imagination Library specialty license plate. And it says that... Dolly Parton's generosity can help Columbus kids who are struggling to read. Through her program, Imagination Library, she's working to increase childhood literacy by mailing kids age 5 and younger free books each month.
Wow.
And the First Lady of Ohio, Fran DeWine, has made expanding the program an Ohio signature project.
Excellent.
In 2024, almost 5 million books were mailed to Ohio kids. The bill now is in the hands of the governor. We'll veto it, of course.
No. He said Governor DeWine is a right winger, but he's no freak.
No, he said he'd sign it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One way in which children are very literate these days was revealed in a recent study done by a group called Common Sense Media. And they discovered that by the age of 12, on average, most children see their first online pornography by the age of 12. And by the age of 17, 73% have seen or is regularly consuming pornography, watching it. And so this is
regularly?
Yeah, this is an article that I was looking at. It was talking about what's the right approach to discussing the issue of pornography. And of course, we're talking mostly, not entirely, but mostly about boys. There was a paper that was published last January in the Journal of Family Medicine and Community Health that says that we have to just acquiesce in the fact that this is ubiquitous and figure out some ways of mitigation. Basically, harm mitigation is the approach that that educators are having to take, because apparently there's no escaping it. So there's some kinds of literacy apparently that are... right out there in front of everybody. So, hey, Harvard Law School reported that the number, and you will be shocked by this too, Mel. This is our underwhelmingly uninformative bad headline week.
The No S Sherlock.
The No S Sherlock show. Yeah, the number of black students entering Harvard Law School dropped sharply this fall after last year's Supreme Court decision banning affirmative action. Harvard Law enrolled 19 first-year black students, or 3.4%. It's the lowest number that they have enrolled in the school since the 1960s.
Wow.
Last year, the law school's first-year program had 43 black students, according to analysis by the New York Times. The Supreme Court decision and the fact that Harvard College was named in the case, which, of course, draws a lot of attention to that institution, certainly played a role, according to David Wilkins, who is the Harvard Law professor and studied this question. He said this is the lowest number of blacks entering first-year students since 1965. This obviously has a lot to do with the chilling effect created by the Supreme Court's decision. We're going to see more of those chilling Supreme Court decisions. Which, of course, is leading to an interesting blowback.
I just want to point out, though, to balance that out, the legacy admissions went up significantly.
Oh, well, there you go. That's all you need to know.
Can't make an egg without breaking some
public confidence here. In the American legal system has plunged in the past year.
Really?
According to a new Gallup poll. It puts it basically our right now in terms of public trust of the legal system in the United States. We're kind of vying with Myanmar and Syria.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Only 9 nations of the more than 160 surveyed in the past 2 decades have had a sharper drop over any 4-year period. And this includes the military dictatorship in Myanmar. So they went back to a military rule. And, of course, what's happening in Syria, or what happened, I should say, happened in Syria during the early phase of the Civil War. So public confidence in the judiciary in the United States is so low, we are 92nd in the ranking of nations by public confidence in the judiciary.
Wow. Well deserved, I might add.
Yeah, five countries had confidence levels of 85% or more, and you will not be surprised that Norway and Denmark led the way. So those crazy European countries with their open government and their responsible institutions.
See, when we look at
what a hellscape.
When we look at state rankings, Minnesota's always number one. And then world rankings, it's always those Scandinavian countries.
Yeah. There's something going on there.
Some connection there.
Those Scandahuvians got it going.
In an effort to reduce fuel costs, American Airlines was the first U.S. carrier to introduce checked baggage fees back in 2008. Since then, many airlines have followed suit, as well as hitting travelers with other excess baggage fees and things. But
oxygen fee.
there is a debate over whether passengers should pay by weight. By their weight, because that affects, a 300-pound person or a 110-pound person as a different effect on the fuel use.
Yeah,
I guess there's a debate over that, and that the airlines are looking. Samoa Air introduced a quote fat tax on travelers. The Finnish airline Finnair introduced a voluntary weigh-in for passengers in an effort to gather more accurate data. They asked flyers about this, and it was kind of split, because people who weighed 160 pounds or less thought it was a great idea. Well, and people who were heavier than that thought it was a terrible idea.
I weigh around 160 pounds, and I think it's a terrible idea. So obviously, I'm an outlier.
So the skinny people like it and the fat people don't.
I'm sorry. With stuff like that, I'm just like, the more we subdivide people by various categories that basically like takes resources away from them, the more we all feel like we're at odds with each other.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at that person getting on the plane. They should have to pay more. It's like, no, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
They should be lowering the salaries of their executives. They should be figuring out more efficient routes.
What?
They should be, this is a classic example of making all the little people fight with each other, and create invidious comparisons while somebody else is making a killing. No.
Divide and conquer.
That's it.
Tried and true. Trump's transition is happening over private emails. What? His emails?
Lock her up.
Federal officials are, quote, nervous.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Hey, rear car seatbelt alarms.
What?
Rear car seatbelt alarms.
Okay.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said that all new vehicles will have to have a warning sound if backseat passengers don't use their seat belts as well. This is a rule that will take effect unless, of course, the Trump administration gets into a mood about it. That will have to take effect in December of 2027. Now, I understand we should all be buckling up, but I do not like the noises that they have. Our car is so noisy. It is like if you're
nags you. Right?
If you're too close, it beeps at you. If you're backing up, it beeps at you. If you don't have your seatbelt, it beeps at you. I feel like a rat in a cage. I mean, I'm just kind of like.
And you don't even get the little pellets.
Yeah, they could give me a pellet of sugar or something like a banana, a banana pellet.
Little M&M.
Every time I put my seatbelt on. Now that I would be in favor of, but this constant shrieking at me. I mean, it's like stop it. I just about go nuts.
I used to have that in my old car.
What's that? Banana pellets?
Constant shrieking.
It always helps, too, when you're driving to have that going on. Lord.
New York is considering a special hotline just for CEOs to report alleged threats of their safety after the Brian Thompson killing.
Oh, Lord.
So the governor of New York is proposing a CEO hotline to protect our precious, precious CEOs.
Our most precious natural resource. Oh, man. Can't they just give them each a bodyguard or golden armor or something? You know?
Well, they'll get $20 million a year. I mean, they could probably...
They can pony up their own dough.
Hire a guy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, they don't care if I get shot. I mean...
No, in fact... Did you see that Minnesota and New Jersey took Glock to court? Did you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you did? All right.
I did.
Never mind.
Okay, forget it then. Let it go.
No, I didn't.
No, what? Tell us about it.
No, it's just... there's this 9mm semi-automatic pistol that they have, and they've been told to make changes to it to prevent easy conversion to like an automatic weapon. You know, it's a semi-automatic; you can make an automatic really easily. And
just get two of them.
Over the years, people have been fitting their guns with what they're called switches. They're this little plastic block that you can convert the semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon, and they're not doing anything about it. They're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. So actually, and law enforcement across the country is like, this is just ridiculous. So two states have decided to go ahead and sue Glock because they're not doing what they're supposed to do to make so these weapons can't be. I'm sure they're saying the same thing as all these other people. It's like, oh, what about the bottom line? You know, it's like, we're not going to sell that many if they can't convert them into automatic weapons. I mean, I'm sure, I have no doubt there was a committee of some board somewhere in the upper echelons of their company that said, hey, this is going to be a killer for us.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Literally.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Bunker sales are up. Nuclear bunker sales increase despite warnings they won't provide protection. So people are getting freaked out.
Magical bunker.
And of course the bunker people are happy to sell you a backyard bunker. So
I want to go in the first wave. That's what I always say. Just vaporize me now, you know.
One of the people selling these says they're good for anything from a tornado to a hurricane to nuclear fallout to a pandemic or even a volcano erupting.
No, they're not. I mean, again, it's selling the fantasy of independence and autarky. I mean, you rely on other people. I mean, where are you getting all this stuff from? How are you going to be able to have any kind of life at all?
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
This is like back in the 50s when that was a trend for a while.
I guess we're going to go get canned food from all the blown-up stores or something. Right. You know, some Twilight Zone-esque image of what will happen. Oh, it's already started, by the way. You're asking what? Well, Pixar... A division of Disney, it was announced this week, removed a transgender storyline from its animated series Win or Lose, which is set to start streaming in February. This was on Tuesday that Disney announced this. The series follows a middle school co-ed softball team in the week leading up to a championship game, and each episode is told from the perspective of a different character. So one of the characters, one of the points of view, is this... individual who's having issues about their gender. And so this is it was a plot point that appears near the end of one of the episodes, but it's been edited out. The decision to remove the story arc was made over the summer. And of course, Disney has drawn ire, as they say. In 2022, the company released Lightyear, which featured a same-sex kiss. Oh, my heavens, the world is ending.
An animated same-sex kiss?
Those are the worst.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
And then something called Strange World, which centered on a gay teenage boy. And can't have that either. So,
Well, this all falls under that category of self-censorship.
Yep.
And that's one of the tenets of resisting fascism is don't pre-censor yourself.
Yep.
And we're seeing that with the media a lot. Right after the election. I mean, I don't watch the TV cable, you know, talking head news stuff. But I guess like the MSNBC morning host went down to Mar-a-Lago after the election. They were critical of Trump leading up to it. But afterwards, they went down and kind of kissed the ring. And now, of course.
Am I groveling enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more serious groveling is needed.
I didn't get a rump out of that guy. But also, you know, the lawsuits against various media.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ABC caved on something they probably would have won, but they didn't want to be in the bad graces of, you know, somebody who controlled the FCC. So I mean, it's just.
Yep. Well, what are we gonna do? What will be our sellout point?
Oh, I'd sell out pretty fast. I'm pretty easy.
Yeah,
I can be bought. So. You know, and if they like torture me, I'd give up in a second. You know,
yeah,
they'd just have to like button my shirt wrong or something. It's like, oh, I can't take it anymore. So, a flat earther admits he was wrong after traveling 9,000 miles to Antarctica to test his belief.
Oh, good Lord.
This guy is a, quote, well-known flat earther, Jerron Campanella. He traveled to Antarctica to witness a 24-hour sun, a phenomenon that would be impossible if the Earth were flat. I'm surprised he actually let, you know, actual facts influence his opinion.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so he took almost $38,000 for him to travel from California. He witnessed the sun circle the sky without setting, and he confessed to his followers, so he's an influencer, that he had been wrong, acknowledging the Earth's true round shape. Well, mostly, anyway. Sometimes you are wrong in life.
It's an oblate spheroid, in case you're curious.
I thought there was no 24-hour sun. In fact, I was pretty sure of it.
Oh, Lord. Who the heck do you think you are? There's no humility among these people. It's just like somebody else might know more than you.
And by my
somebody else might have done something that you could learn from. You know, somebody else might have written a book that you could read and find out about. That's what culture is all about, right? You don't have to do it all yourself. You got all these other people who are basically your agents and are doing it for you, you know, and then you can benefit from it.
He did his own research.
He's an idiot.
Oh, that.
It's not just that it's insulting. I mean, it's impudent, you know. It's just kind of like, what, you think that people are all making this up? Who are you to decide that they're all evil and bad? I mean, come on.
And we've known the Earth is round for about 1,500 years.
Eratosthenes figured it out, yeah.
They put little, like, sticks in the ground and measured the shadows.
And figured out when I mean, it's like, oh, my God.
It wasn't like Columbus, I mean, we were taught.
It might have been an opinion among people that didn't, like this guy, that didn't know any better, to think that it was flat or something. But no, that wasn't, people didn't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen stuff from outer space.
I mean,
we have pictures.
That's all made up.
And other planets, and we've landed on other. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I know. It's just stupid. Whatever. It's just. I think what happens with these folks is, I have a theory about this. It's all it's the attention economy.
Well, sure.
You know, and everybody. It's a Darwinian struggle. Everybody wants to be noticed.
Look at me.
I get it. I mean, here we are, right? But I mean, everybody wants to do this. So it drives you to be extreme because that's what's going to get you the attention.
Yeah.
And then it's a strange thing about humans. If you say this thing a million times, originally not truly believing it, you start to believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, fake it till you make it. I mean, people fake it and then they start believing it. I think that's what happens. And then they're committed to it.
Right. I was thinking about, after reading the story, thinking about conspiracy theories too. And one component that gets kind of ignored is that they're tantalizing. I mean, it's like, yeah. You know, who killed Kennedy? Oh, we almost know. And this guy died. And sure. I bet, you know, and it's you're almost there. You're can't quite see through the fog. And it's very frustrating. And I think that kind of fuels a lot of people's frustration in life. Yeah. Through these things that they almost know, but not quite, because somebody's covering it up.
I think the thing is, the way the world is and the way things work and so on, it's so incredible. Just find out what's true. Just finding out what's true is like mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
That's fantasy.
They just invented a quantum computer. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I mean, you know, like what?
Look at some of those fish from the deep ocean.
Exactly. You want something creepy and weird? There's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, they're much, much creepier than anything in a science fiction movie. So, all right, we got to declare. The weekend solstice tomorrow, right?
I believe
21st,
so.
21st, so that'll be good.
And we got that Christmas thing coming up.
Christmas.
You heard about that.
Yeah.
That's the day that celebrates the Prince of Peace when we go out and spend a lot of money. Because that's what Jesus would want.
Give me those money changers. Yeah, I got to get in the temple.
There's Jesus and then there's Satan Claus. At least that's what we learned when I was a kid.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. It was appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar? He's prowling around here. Pants, great to see you. Have a great weekend, everybody, and have a great holidays, whatever you celebrate. So, all right. It's 2 o'clock. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM. Madison, again, thanks for listening, and we'll yell at you next Friday. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, December 20th.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1860. That was the day South Carolina announced the Union is dissolved. The pronouncement was a direct response to the presidential election of Abraham Lincoln a month earlier. South Carolina was the first of 11 states to secede from the Union. They were resolved to preserve their system of slave labor. Many debate the reasons why and will cite states' rights or tariffs and taxes as primary causes. But South Carolina issued a declaration of immediate causes just 4 days after its state legislature passed the Ordinance of Secession. According to James Luen, author of The Confederate and Neo-Confederate Reader, this declaration opposed Northern states' rights of refusal to support slavery. It stated that there was, quote, an increasing hostility on the part of non-slaveholding states to the institution of slavery, that the Northern states had failed to fulfill their constitutional obligations by interfering with the return of fugitive slaves to bondage. South Carolinians were also